Hi guys, and welcome to the third episode of season two of the 18 Yards podcast. In this week's episode, we're very delighted and privileged to have Kostu Bande. He is, amongst other things, he's the editor-in-chief of Get Italian Football News and European football writer. He supports a few clubs in the Premier League. He supports Manchester United. And we have Raihan, Araman and myself today. But yeah, just to kick it off, Kostu, lovely to have you here. Thank you so much for making time for us. What do you make of the upcoming Premier League season?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, guys. It's always lovely to chat about football to so many people. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much what I do. So it's pretty good to express myself and help others express themselves in this way. But yeah, I mean, especially the Premier League, I mean, the FA Community Shield thing's going on. I mean, it's a bit unfortunate that we are recording at that point. But yeah, I mean, the Premier League, it's probably going to be a better season than the previous one, hopefully, because we saw a season where it was pretty uneven at some points. You saw a club essentially running away with it after a point, after Man United sort of so-called challenge for the title briefly. But yeah, there were a lot of elements to last season which I personally didn't quite enjoy. Yeah, just hoping that the next season is much, much more enjoyable in a way.
Right. So, I mean, you know, like you said, you know, Man United, they posed a bit of a challenge last season. But do you think this season is going to be, something's going to change now that they signed Varane and Sancho and obviously with the fans returning? Do you think City or even Chelsea are going to face a tough challenge from United, or is it going to be the same City running away with it?
I don't think it's going to be City running away with it. By running away with it, I don't mean the sort of scene that we had last season where they were about 12, 13 points clear for a fair amount of the second half of the season. It's not going to be as distant as that. I'm expecting it to be a lot more closer, not just because United have strengthened, it's because the others have strengthened, and apart from just being strengthened as a squad, they've strengthened in the right areas, which is very important. We've seen all those clubs, especially United themselves, clubs apart from Liverpool, of course, because Liverpool are probably the sort of club who know how to fix the right areas of the pitch. The other clubs have often found that recruitment to be a bit random, where they fix issues that weren't exactly issues. They were just holes that other members of the squad could probably fill. But this time around, the squads that we have, not just in terms of the quality, in terms of quantity as well, because we saw, I mean, the Champions League final probably just encapsulated everything else, that Chelsea and Man City are probably the teams with the highest amount of squad depth. They've got about, let's say, three players in just about every position. So I think the Premier League, because of all the finances involved, all the big TV deals and the sponsorships, they've now slowly getting to a point where there's more uniformity there, because we were constantly complaining that the Premier League was a closed top six league. But now we are heading into a phase where it's beginning to be a lot more close. And I think next season is going to be another reflection of that, just like the Champions League was, because just about every single squad of the top four will have quite a lot of depth. I mean, Liverpool, not so much, but still, they are still a squad to be reckoned with. They just needed a holiday, a big holiday after next season. They've probably got it. So I think, yeah, it's going to be a lot more closer than last season.
I think, in my opinion, I agree with what you're saying about the consolidation sort of finance and power that we're seeing across Europe. Shifting towards the Premier League. I think within the league also, it's looking the same way. I think, you know, just the difference between the, I think what we will see over the next couple of years, of the four teams that will be in the top four, I think consistently over the next couple of years, in Chelsea, City, Liverpool and United. I think these four teams, maybe not Liverpool so much, but definitely United, Chelsea and City, I think there's definitely going to be a gulf between these three teams and the rest of the field. Liverpool obviously are blessed with a good first 11. We saw last season they struggled because of injuries. injuries and basically not having the squad depth that the likes of Chelsea and City do. But I think what really works for Liverpool is Jurgen Klopp. I think he's still definitely one of the best managers in the world. And I think, you know, when you've got someone like that leading your team, I think it makes it a lot easier. So I think what we can do is we can have a punt at each predicting our top eights, and we can go look at the teams that we've got in there. I think we'll have a couple of teams here and there where we differ. So we can cover maybe 10, 12 teams from the league. So anyone volunteering to go first? Or
I think you should just go ahead with it, Raya.
Okay, so I think we can go from eighth to first. I've got Leeds in eighth. I think they were brilliant last season. I don't think this is going to be like Sheffield United, you know, where they finished in the top 10, had a great season, and then got relegated the next. I think this is a team that has been a Premier League caliber team for the past 2 years, at least, if not three. They've got a fantastic manager, as we all know. They've got a team that has an identity. I think they have the strongest identity in the league. Great players. They've not had much, too many transfers, but they've brought in Junior Firpo to basically replace Alioski, which is a great transfer. He's a good young player, the sort of player that fits into Bielsa's system. So I think they're going to kick on. They're not going to make a massive improvement from ninth because, you know, I mean, that would take a lot for them to push into the top seven, top six. I don't think that'll happen, but they will improve on last season, in my opinion, and finish eighth. What do you guys have for Leeds next season? Do you think they'll do better or worse?
Yeah, I think I also pretty much had Leeds at eight, and that's not just because they've got that own identity of themselves, but because you saw towards the end of last season, or in fact towards January onwards, and from then on towards the end of the season, we saw games where Leeds weren't just playing their high pressing brand of football, where they were essentially going all out on the opposition with that their own formation. It was more about being a bit conservative. You saw there was a game against Burnley which they won 1-0. Although I think it was a bit of a controversial result because there were controversial decisions there, but the sort of game that they had has showed that they're not just a team that have their own identity. They've also learned over the years to be a bit more flexible in their approach. Even again, we know the result against Man City where they essentially somehow just won it thanks to Stuart Dallas. But they had a lot of games, even the Man United game, they weren't extravagant in that regard. They weren't going all out like they did in the 6-2 game. So they've learned their lessons pretty well, I think, in the Premier League. And I think apart from that, you've got probably sides like maybe Everton, who I'm not really I've never been confident about over the last many seasons now. You've got Aston Villa. They'll probably take a while to gel in because they will make more signings, and the signings haven't had pre-season. They'll be rotating around quite a lot in teams, and it will take a while to gel them in the right manner. You've got probably got Brighton maybe pushing for that spot, and I think whenever they sign Odson Edouard from Celtic, they'll probably be quite a good team because their issue was finishing off the chances. So I think Leeds in that regard are a much more established unit if you consider the teams that I just talked about, where the others have gone through quite a bit of change, whereas Leeds have stayed where they are and they've just fixed the right issues because Lewis Bate has come in. He fixes a midfield spot. Forsha is probably back. I think he did train a bit. He had a couple of training sessions, which shows that again they've got much more depth in midfield than they had last season. So I think it's probably an eighth finish, maybe pushing on for seven, but staying at eight.
Yeah, so I mean, like you said, Villa are a team that's definitely rebuilding now. Grealish, their talisman, has just gone to City, strengthening the City squad like inevitably every season City does. But you know, they've made some good signings. You know, I mean, signings as a Spurs fan, I would look at Emi Buendia, I would want him at my club. I would look at Leon Bailey, I would want him at my club. I frankly thought we would go and get Danny Ings as well. But, you know, I mean, like you said, I think one side of the coin is that it'll take time for them to gel. But for me, I have them down as seventh. I may be overestimating them, but I really think that they can push on from last season. And sometimes, like we saw with Liverpool selling Coutinho, losing your main man is not such a bad thing if you invest it in the right way. That said, you do need Leon Bailey to come in and kick on straight away. I think we've seen anybody do it in the Premier League in bits and pieces the season before last. And Danny Ings, as we all know, is a top level scorer, goal scorer. So Ari, what do you think about Villa?
I mean, if you heard what the chairman had to say about the Grealish transfer, you know, he explained it quite perfectly as to why they brought these three players into the team. I mean, he said that we cannot replace Grealish by one player, so we're doing it by getting three players. We're getting the assist in Buendia and a little bit in Leon Bailey, and we're getting the goals in Danny Ings. So I think if that works out well for them, especially with Watkins, I think Watkins is going to play on the left now like he did a bit for Brentford. If that works out in their favor, then I can see them doing really well this season. But I mean, I agree. I mean, they're most of the players are new signings, right? And they need time to build that chemistry within the team, especially with all these three players coming from different leagues altogether. I mean, Guenda's coming from the Championship, Bailey's coming from the Bundesliga, and obviously Danny Ings has had his injury issues in the past. I mean, when he's not injured, he's a really good player. But when he's injured, I mean, he's injured for a long time. So I can see both the sides of the coins here, but I would personally want Villa to do well, given that they've lost one of their homegrown talents, one of their best players over the past 5-6 years, Jack Grealish. And personally, I'm a fan of Danny Ings. So obviously, I want Villa to do well, but I can see them finishing below seventh. Even seventh, I think I'm going to watch them for a few games in starting season to make a solid judgment about the team.
And Costa, you said that you don't think Villa will reach the heights of even eighth. So who do you have at seventh? And deep, the same for you. Do you agree with Villa at seven, or do you think they're going to do better or worse? So Costa, I think we can go with you first.
At seventh, I had Arsenal, because why not? Arsenal know how to finish 7, 6, and 8 and all that. But yeah, I think for Arsenal, I think it's going to be a season where in the middle part of the season, they'll show that they can qualify for Europe. By Europe, I mean the Europa League, not the Conference League, by the way. But towards the end of the season, they will start to falter a bit where, I mean, it's just a prediction. You can't really put a finger on it. You have seasons where, especially for Arsenal, where you see them, I think it was the 13-14 season where they were at the top in December, and you had a lot of those seasons under Arsene Wenger where they had a very good run of form till about the winter break and sometimes even after that. But they sort of fell off after that. But I think for Arsenal, I'm pretty excited about Arsenal in a way, just for that little spell that they'll probably have in the season. Because you can see that Mikel Arteta has an identity. He's shown that he's not afraid of making those big decisions about the better players. He excluded Aubameyang from the squad because he arrived late for training or whatever that was. Gave no chance for Ozil to come in because he clearly didn't fit the whole system. He's identified the right areas in the squad to improve. And I think if they get the right signings, I mean, especially the number 10 position that which they really need to pick someone to operate between the lines since they lost Odegaard. I think it's strange because I'm going on about them appreciating them, but I think, yeah, as I said, I do expect them to fall off and Bukayo Saka to have quite a good season.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to sort of piggyback on you on that little point you made where you said that they'll partly have a good season in sort of sprees because, yeah, I don't think it's going to be long-lasted. I personally had Arsenal / Leeds down for eighth. And I think my prediction will be kind of different to yours because I personally had, I had West Ham down for seven. Again, like a team which is, I feel, underrated. If we see what they did last season, if we see the sort of the way the team came together and like the sort of the sort of courage they showed, despite not having made, I'm not even sure if they've made many major signings this season, but just from the team, like even if you look at their last season's team with Declan Rice, sort of just pivoting the entire the defense with, I think, Antonio up front, you have some really good players in the likes of Kufal. You have on the flanks, you have sort of your Fornells, you have Yarmolenko, you have Jared Bowen, you have, I mean, I think you just have a host of talent in that team. And yeah, I think it will be tough, but they will sort of be above Arsenal for sure. So I had them down for 7. And between, I guess, the top 4 for all of us would be pretty much the same amongst the top 4 teams. But yeah, for 5 and 6, I had Leicester / Spurs in no particular order. So yeah, that was me. In terms of Villa, I know we were discussing it. I personally don't have them down for the top 8/9 this season. I think it will take them. I think this season might sort of hit them hard in terms of, especially with Grealish leaving. I think he was the sort of main major motivating factor behind the team. He was sort of spiriting them quite a bit. So yeah, that's what I feel. I don't think they'll be top 8, top 9, but then again, it's football. I might be completely mistaken.
Right. So like you said, I think from what I've heard from all three of you, I think the top 6, we're all going to have the same 6 teams in there. It's just the order is going to differ. So it's 6. Why don't we just, I mean, I've gone Leicester 6th. Ali, have you gone Spurs or Leicester 6th? Or are you shocking us with someone else?
No, I mean, I have Spurs down at 6th because I just don't know how Nuno Spurs will do. I mean, I haven't seen them in action yet. But I have to admit they've made some exciting signings in Christian Romero and Brian Gill, a player I admire a lot. Watching him in La Liga last season was wonderful. He's a really talented player, but I don't think he's going to play many games this season. He's just 20 years old. They've got a new director of football who's making some incredible signings. But we still have to see how these signings fit into the team. I mean, last season on paper, when they signed Doherty, everyone was like, you know, they signed a really good right back who's going to fit Mourinho's system. But it didn't pan out well, right, last season. So I don't know how to judge Spurs without actually seeing them play on the field, especially now that they've got a new manager who I believe is a filler for Pochettino to come in sometime next season or maybe next season. But for that reason, I'm going to pick Spurs for 6th.
I think, Kostub, do you agree or do you have Spurs finishing slightly higher?
I sort of thought that maybe I wish Spurs finished 5th because I've sometimes got a soft spot for them. But I think since they are still a work in progress kind of thing where they, because Nuno Santo, when he was at Valencia and Porto, he sort of played a much more attacking brand of football with the 4-4-2 diamond and a normal flat 4-4-2, which had them pressing high up the pitch and stuff. And at Wolves, he had a completely different style of play. Now he's got to, and we've seen that he's playing a much more attacking brand of football. I mean, I say much more. I mean, he's not playing that old Wolves 3-5-2, which was pretty, pretty terrorizing for Man United fans, especially. But I think it's going to be, as I said, it's going to be a work in progress where they are sort of figuring out a way. I mean, I won't be surprised if they give a shot for the top 4 because they'll probably, when the transfer window closes, they'll probably have a pretty decent squad. You see the names that are being mentioned and the signings they've brought in. Christian Romero is probably one of the best centre-backs of his age group and maybe the best age, maybe the best in that regard as well. Brian Hill, we've seen him do pretty good stuff in La Liga, taking people on, beating them. But we're seeing Spurs being about to lose so many players, open to offers for Lucas Moura, Moussa Sissoko, or maybe Harry Kane's leaving. So it's going to be a transition period where they just take a while to, as I said for Villa, they just take a while to figure out how Nuno wants to play. And I think Nuno himself will be tinkering with this tactic because at Valencia, he was pretty keen on doing that. He didn't just play a 4-4-2 or 4-4-2 diamond. He played a 4-2-3-1, a 3-5-2, 3-4-3. He pretty much played every single possible formation in the book. So I think I'll probably put Spurs down for six, but similar to us, we can have a phase where we might think that they might just finish inside top four before they fall off again.
I think what I wanna, because you know, like we mentioned before, you're the chief editor for Get Italian Football News, and Paratici, who's the new director of football at Spurs, seems to be looking at Italy for almost all his transfers. So, just to pick on what you said about Nuno, I've seen reports that he wants to play a 4-4-2 like he did at Valencia. He's stuck with the 4-3-3 in preseason. He's pushed Dele Alli back to the central midfield role. Skip has looked good. You know, Lucas Moura has looked good. But like you said, I mean, it's a massive rebuild. I think Spurs will probably let go of maybe 9 to 11 players this season. Harry Kane may or may not be one of them. I don't think there's any point in talking about the Kane saga, because that's just, you know, that's going to be another long story on its own. But I mean, first of all, what do you make of Christian Romero? Second of all, are there any other targets, for example, Dusan Vlahovic, or the second center back, maybe Milinkovic, that Spurs are looking at, or that you would recommend they look at to fill in the spaces in their starting 11 from Italy?
As far as Christian Romero goes, I've been a big fan of him, because there was a time, I mean, just in personal terms, him and me have got a bit of a rocky relationship, because when he was at Genoa, I quite rated him, and then he went to Juventus, got loaned back, did pretty decent at Genoa, playing a much deeper defensive line. And then when he went to Atalanta, I mean, I remember watching the first 5-6 Atalanta games, and Romero was absolutely pathetic, because he was getting used to playing in a higher defensive line, which he technically hadn't done before. Genoa played a deeper defensive line pretty much every single game to just survive relegation. So it was a cultural shock for him. But over a period of time, and I think from that game against Liverpool in the Champions League at Anfield, from then on, he's just absolutely destroyed the opposition in every single game. He may not be exceptional on the ball. I mean, he's okay at it, but he's much, much, much better at being that proper stopper who makes sure that his defensive partner has got the room to and freedom to maraud forward, create an extra man in midfield, while he stays at the back, acts as the last man, conducts his team's back line, and just takes the ball off the opposition. He's a bit of an old-fashioned centre back, but he can do loads of things. So I think, yeah, as I said before, he's probably the best centre back in that age group. And when he starts to do well, I don't think the fee is going to matter too much, because he's that good on his day. He's going to dominate so many games, be it the smaller games, because he's used to playing in a deeper line. And he'll also dominate the bigger games. Or just, I think he's, because of the Atalanta spell, he's become a much, much more complete defender than I thought he would be. So yeah, I think Spurs have got a brilliant player on there. And as far as Spurs transfer targets are concerned, I think Nikola Milinkovic is probably off to West Ham. That's what reports in Italy are saying. They're prepared to pay about 15 million euros plus bonuses for him, and Milinkovic has been looking to leave for about, let's say, the last half a year or something. So that is about to happen, probably happen in the next 2-3 days or maybe the next week. I think Tomiyasu is someone who Spurs should surely sign, because at Bologna he's played a variety of roles, not just in terms of whether you talk about his concrete position, him playing as a right back or a centre back. He's someone who's got this footballing IQ of being very, very versatile. In possession, he can easily move into a centre back role when he's playing at right back. Out of possession, he can go right back. He's just a Japanese Milan Skriniar in a way. I know that comparison sounds a bit weird, but and especially because Skriniar did play on the left side of the defense earlier during his time at Inter. So I think Tomiyasu is certainly someone they should be looking at. And apart from that, Vlahovic, there seems to be quite a bit of confidence that Fiorentina will get him to sign a new deal and get him to sign that big release clause contract, 70 million. And I think he'll probably earn 3 million euros a season, which is actually more than double of what he earns on his current deal. But apart from that, I think Andrea Belotti should be an option for Spurs because he rejected contract advances from Torino. And next 2-3 weeks are going to be pretty important for his future, where he'll tell Torino about whether he wants to stay or he wants to leave. And Juventus have got, on paper, they had frosty relations with Torino, but otherwise, practically speaking, they did have good relations with him. Paratici has good relations with him. So it's a deal which can be done if Spurs go for him. His asking price will probably be around 25 million euros or 30. And the competitors in that race will probably be Roma and Zenit. So I think Spurs, if they go for him, they'll have a good chance of getting him.
Right. So moving on from Spurs, I think we've all basically, I've got Leicester 6th, Spurs 5th, but I think the rest of you have it the other way around. Leicester.
No, I'm the same, so yeah.
Ah, okay. The two optimistic Spurs fans who are
right.
Come May, who are going to be making these predictions. But yeah, so I think Leicester, also another team that's playing right now against City in the Community Shield. I've got my doubts about them because I think towards the end of the season, we've seen for the past 2 years, I don't think they're going to be able to sustain their Champions League / whatever they're challenging for. I have a few questions about their defensive situation at the beginning of the season, obviously with Fofana's unfortunate injury. Although they have made some really good young signings, Boubacar, Soumaré, I think, and Patson Daka, who are two really, really good young players. So I think Leicester's a team that we could be excited for. But if we move quickly on to the top four, because I think that's what most of the listeners want to hear about, why don't we first list off all of our top fours and then we can get into the top four teams. So I've got United in fourth. I've got Liverpool in third. I've got my top two differ because today I'm going to go with City second, Chelsea first. But I think if City sign Kane, then they'll win the league. I think if City go without a striker and Chelsea sign Lukaku, then I think Chelsea will win the league. So for me, because I'm not sure if Kane will actually leave, I'm going Chelsea first, City second. So what do you guys have, Ari, Kostubdeep?
I'm going to go with a very bold prediction. I'm going to say City don't win the league. I think City will come third this season because I'm a sucker for these kind of scenarios. And with fans coming back into the stadiums, I think with football, you never know what's going to happen. But on paper, obviously, City look like the team to beat. But my heart says City to come third, Chelsea to come second, and Varane leading United to the title.
And
I think you guys have just probably confused me about the Premier League winners because I was about to say City, and then I thought if City don't sign Kane and Chelsea are obviously getting Lukaku, then maybe things change a bit. But I think if City don't get Kane, they'll probably get another striker in anyway. They'll probably get maybe David Nunez from Benfica or maybe someone else. It's Manchester City. They can go out, spend money. They can maybe get João Félix in, who Guardiola, of course, likes. And he's not really had a great time at Atletico Madrid. So it's not like if City don't sign a striker, don't sign Kane, they'll not sign a striker. They will probably have options there. So I think City first, Chelsea second, United third, Liverpool fourth. And I think Liverpool will probably, again, it'll be a case of them not having as good a core squad as the others at the end of the day. We've not seen them get signings in or get them to get their pre-season training sorted. Of course, they've been linked with Jared Bowen and loads of other players. Now, we don't know if those links are legit or not, but You really can't see what transfer Liverpool will be making. I know they want to play Gini Wijnaldum. They've got players like Yves Bissouma or maybe Sanderberg and these sort of players. Maybe they're interested in them, but the way Liverpool play, it's not an easy system to come in and just impose yourself right away, unless it's Bissouma, of course, because Bissouma has played a bit of a similar system at Brighton. I know it's the technicalities are a bit different, but the signings they'll make will have to adjust to a completely new system right away, which is certainly tough. And they've got the AFCONs where Mo Salah and Sadio Mane will be heading off. And it's good that they didn't allow Salah to go for the Olympics. So I think, yeah, Liverpool fourth, United third, Chelsea second, City first.
Right, and Deep?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I just think, as y'all have rightly mentioned, there are just too many ifs and buts right now to sort of actually make my top four prediction, because, like, I woke up 3 days back to Lukaku joining Chelsea, and then Harry Kane one day decides that he doesn't want to show up for training, he wants to join City. I mean, tomorrow we'll probably wake up to Haaland joining Arsenal or something. I mean, it's just, it's crazy right now. I mean, like, it's like, if you look at especially the top four, stuff is going absolutely bonkers. Like, there's no sort of affirmative statement you can make about this to be the team. So, I mean, after Lukaku now I think we got a here we go from Fab, which is Lukaku is joining Chelsea. Grealish for City, to be honest, that doesn't really make a difference to me. I don't see him making that much else of an impact. He's going to do the same thing, Foden or whatever. Mahrez, Foden, depending on where they play him. Before obviously this entire Harry Kane and Grealish and Lukaku thing, one of our friends, Jeff, which had actually posted on Twitter asking for everyone's top four predictions, where I sort of said Liverpool will come first. Now that I look back at it, I don't stick by it, but I still hold them in very high regard, because the way I look at the Pool's team this season, yes, they've not made any transfers. Yes, their sort of midfield isn't as fluid as they'd want it to be. But at the same time, they've got two new signings in terms of Van Dijk and Gomez, who are absolutely, absolutely crucial to their squad. If sort of Salah, Jota, I mean, the way he played last season, if he can sort of step up to that in the beginning with Mane, Salah, Jota, and obviously Bobby Firmino, whatever. I mean, he can prove to be quite essential at times. But yeah, and obviously they have Trent and Robertson. I think they have the team. Klopp has sort of proven his worth many a time. I think they can. I think there'll be a lot. The reason I don't rate Chelsea that high is because there's just too much going on, I feel. Like, how are they going to fit in Lukaku, whether they'll sort of play him alongside Timo, whether Timo will sort of come back, whether they play him alongside Havertz, what's happening, I don't know, but I'd still go bold prediction, I'd still go Liverpool first, City, Manchester City second, and Chelsea third, and United fourth, only and only because I think if they had any other manager apart from Ole, I think they would put them down as first. But yeah, I think Ole might struggle in comparison to the tactics of the other sort of managers. But yeah, I think that's just me.
I think what's really interesting is that all four of us have different winners for the Premier League. So it's interesting because, you know, Kostad, you spoke about Chelsea and Deep, so did you. And I think for Chelsea, it's a good problem to have, you know, I mean, the problem last season was that Jorginho was their top scorer. And when you bring in someone like Lukaku, I mean, he, in my opinion, he's going to get 20 goals and at least 5 to 7, 8, 9 assists maybe. City, you know, I mean, my prediction, like I said, changes if City win the league. But it's going to be interesting to see who got it right. I don't think any of us will get it spot on with our top 8 or top 4. But it'll be interesting to see who came closest. So moving on from our predictions, I think what we can do is now we can quickly just, you know, take a punt at the next predictions, etc. And we won't really make it because I don't think we want to draw out the episode too far. So quickly, our three teams to get relegated. For me, I have Burnley. I think their time has come. I think, you know, Burnley is Burnley. So, I mean, they'll always be the team playing the low block and bunting it ahead to Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes. But I think, you know, that the likes of Brighton strengthening, I really think Hasenhüttl is a very good manager. I think Brentford is going to do a great job this season. I don't think they're going to get relegated. So I think Burnley and Norwich, who are the ever-present yo-yo club, are going to go down as well. And I think Watford will also go back down to the Championship.
Who do you guys have going down?
Yeah, so I have Watford, Burnley and Newcastle. I think it's Newcastle going to come dead last. I just think, like, I mean, like, without meaning to sound rude, derogatory in any way, I just feel that there isn't that in the team anymore. I think they need a season in the Premier, in the Championship more than anything else. They have what a couple of good players. They have St. Maxima. They have a few good players, but I think they're done in, like, Watford, Burnley. I don't want to delve in too deep. Right, quite rightly discussed. So yeah, I think those are the three for me. Costa, what are yours?
It might just come across as a hot take when I say that I'm predicting Wolves in Southampton to go down. And Newcastle, of course. No, I don't hate Arsenal. Okay. I love Arsenal. I just love to banter them.
Okay.
I agree with you that Newcastle will probably finish rock bottom. That's because there's too much going on that the club's fans and even Steve Bruce won't like. There's the takeover stuff. The arbitration's been delayed till 2022. They've probably got a budget of about £20 million, unless they don't sell someone like St. Maximan or Sean Longstaff, who's not even playing these days, or someone else. Florian Lejeune has left, but he's not really fetched them a big fee. So I think their transfer budget is pretty limited, and they've been trying to sign Joe Willock on a permanent basis in Arsenal, saying, give us 25 million, Newcastle are saying we don't have that budget. So it will be pretty tough for them, especially with the whole negative atmosphere, with the fans coming back. Newcastle have had a negative atmosphere anyway for the last, let's say, the last 5 years. Ever since they returned, there were good periods under Rafa Benitez where the atmosphere was positive in general, but there were always murmurs of discontent amongst loads of Newcastle fans. They've now reached a point where they've just given up on their club, where they just resigned. They're just resigned to getting relegated and the takeover happening next summer when they are in the Championship and they get to spend a lot with the parachute piece and all that. So I think there's too much negative stuff going on there. So they're pretty much doomed. I mean, for me at least. And as far as Southampton are concerned, I think they are in a bit of a mess ever since Hasenhüttl came in and since Mark Hughes was there for... I'm still not sure why Mark Hughes came in, by the way. Hasenhüttl has got such a thin squad. You look at their centre-back options, one centre-back gets injured and it's pretty much finished. They've got youth players. I know they've strengthened the full-back area. Livramento's come in and Perro, who was pretty very, very good in Ligue 1. They've strengthened in the full-back areas, but they've lost Danny Ings. They'll probably lose James Ward-Prowse. They've got a paper-thin centre-back line, and they play a very, very demanding brand of football, which if last season had gone on for one more month, they would have probably finished 18th or 17th if they stood at that sort of a position. And Wolves, I think it's going to be, let's say, a cultural shock again, because it's a good word to use, where they played a different brand of football under Nuno, and Bruno Laga plays a much more attacking brand of football. And even they've got financial issues. Till the time they don't sell Adama, Ruben Neves or Raul Jimenez, and Jimenez probably staying anyway, they lose their most important players in a way, in Neves and Adama Traore, and they've not got the time to sign the right players. They've got a month to play and a completely new team dynamic for the new signings to get used to. And the players that are already there for years, I mean, ever since Nuno came in and maybe just before that, where they played a much more conservative brand of football, it's going to be a completely new thing for them. So I think as much as it's a hot take, I think there's a chance that maybe these three go down next season.
I agree with you. I mean, before this call started, I was actually telling Rai that, you know, Southampton is going to get relegated because they've lost two of their starting 11 mainstays. They've lost Dan Ings and they've lost Ryan Bertrand. And I think both of them had a great impact on the team. And like Kostrup said, I mean, they're going to lose James Ward-Prowse pretty soon, in my opinion, too. And last season we saw, they got a lot of injuries and then they lost 9-0. And you could see Hasan Hüttl actually in the post-match conference, he said, you know, what can I do if I'm getting injuries? My squad isn't enough. And I think that's one of the reasons why I feel they'll get relegated. I also have Watford down as the only promoted team to get relegated this season. I think Norwich will stay up because they made some excellent signings in Rashiska. Billy Gilmore, they've got on loan. Josh Sargent, and obviously they have Team Bukiu, starts off the season really well and then sort of disappears. But I think Norwich is going to stay up. I have Watford, Southampton and Burnley. I think these three teams are going down. Burnley, I mean, you have to respect Sean Dyche, whatever he's done for Burnley. I mean, he has absolutely zero budget since he's entered the Premier League, and he's always managed to keep Burnley up. And every year someone says Burnley's got relegated. And every year, Sondage proves them wrong by keeping Burnley up. But I think this is the season Burnley lose out because other teams have been spending around them. And, you know, it's in the modern game, you have to spend to get some sort of success. So I think Burnley goes down, Southampton goes down, and Watford goes down.
Right. So moving on from the relegation candidates and the team predictions, I think just to quickly go over what I see as the individual awards for next season. Top scorer, I have, as you guys can predict, regardless of whether he's playing for City or for Spurs, I think Harry Kane will be the top scorer. For top assists, I've got KDB. I don't think Kane will be able to produce the assist and goal numbers like last season. And I think KDB, if he stays fit, will be up there again. I've gone for Chelsea winning the league, so I think Kante will be the best player. The best young player, I'm not too sure. Maybe Foden will take it again. So those are my individual awards. What do you guys think?
I think for the top scorer, I think pretty much the same, Harry Kane, because he's someone who's, I mean, purely going by the expected goals metric, he's shown that he can overperform on his XG even when he's not getting the right sort of service. So even if he's not getting as many chances to score as he might at Man City, I still expect him to score about 24, 25 goals unless he's not injured for about half a season or something. And for assists, I've gone with, I was tempted to select De Bruyne, of course, but I've gone with Jadon Sancho, of course. Why not? Because I think he's the sort of player that United have been crying out for quite a while, not just in terms of the profile, but in terms of the position he fixes and the system that the demands of Solskjaer's system, regardless of whether they play 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3, he's pretty much nailed on to be a star in that team, helping Van der Sar improve as well. And player of the season, if City win the league, it'll probably be De Bruyne. If Chelsea win the league, probably going to be Kante. Was there anything else? Young player, I've put down Bukayo Saka, because as I mentioned before, he's come through a tough period. This probably will be quite a defining season in terms of his mentality, the retaliation, and all those instincts of fighting back that he might have as a young player. And I think he's probably one of the best young players in that age group. And as I said, for the spell that Arsenal will probably have, that mini or howsoever long that spell is going to be, he's going to be massive for them. And otherwise, even though they might have James Maddison or Hussein Mawar or whoever or Aubameyang in that squad, Saka is going to be the one who will carry them apart from Kieran Tierney.
Right. Deep, Ari?
I think, are you speaking or I could Sorry. I agree with both of you. I think Harry Kane has been the best striker in the Premier League for about 4 or 5 seasons now. Even when Salah scored 32 goals, people often forget that he scored 30 goals that season. But if Chelsea signed Lukaku, I think with Havertz behind him, with Timo Werner, you know, making all these runs behind the defenders, Havertz behind him, and Mason Mount. For the creativity, I think Lukaku has a really good shout of, you know, winning the Golden Boot this season. Only if Chelsea sign him, of course. But if the deal falls through somehow, I think Harry Kane, if Lukaku's not in the league, Harry Kane's winning the Golden Boot. If Lukaku's in the league, my money's on Lukaku. Top assist. Now that, you know, before the season started, I was really keen to see how Bruno Fernandes does this season. But now, you know, even in the friendly today, you saw, I mean, he was getting the box a lot. He was attacking a lot more, you know. But Ole has said in a press conference, I think, that he's going to try with the 4-3-3 formation where Bruno is going to play a bit deeper as a number 8. So I'm not keen on him. So I think the next best option actually is one of the best midfielders in the league, I think, Kevin De Bruyne. Even last season, he played just 24 games and managed to get 12 assists. Just one behind Harry Kane, who played 36 games. So I think
two behind
11. So even if he's fit for the entire season, he's getting 18 to 19 assists for sure. Especially if Harry Kane comes in the team, because then Harry Kane will be finishing whatever Kevin De Bruyne provides him with. And best young player, this might come as a shock, but how about Emile Smith Rowe? I mean, they've given him the number 10. They've lost Odegaard, so I think he'll be playing a bit more for Arsenal, you know, and he showed glimpses of good talent last season, especially towards the end. If he's starting for Arsenal, you know, I think he'll be one of the key players along with Bukayo Saka. Now, obviously, I feel right now Saka is the better player, but if I had to make a different prediction, I would pick Emile Smith Rowe. And for best player, I'm going to say Kai Havertz. I mean, a lot of people wrote him off. I don't know why they did that. He's a young player. He's just 21 years old and he's a brilliant player. I mean, you saw him at the Euros. He was probably Germany's top 3 players at the Euros. When he got into the groove at Chelsea last season, he won them the Champions League. You know, he got them. He played a very key role in Tuchel's squad. And I think he's going to be starting games for Chelsea over players like Werner. And, you know, I think... if I had to pick one Chelsea attacker who's going to be starting most of the games, I'd pick Kai Havertz. And I think he's going to be the best player of the tournament.
Brilliant. Just concluding on these points. I think since Ari went, Emile Smith Rowe, best young player, I have Aubameyang to talk about it. because why not? I'm just joking. I think... Yeah, I mean, again, look, it's just too many ifs and buts right now. I'd say, again, being discussed way too much, Kane/Lukaku. If Kane goes to City, I'd say Kane for sure. Otherwise, yeah, I think Lukaku just has a really good chance because of the team behind him. Top assist, I don't know. I'd like to say Bruno because I think now he has a lot more things to work with especially coming in. I'm not too sure on what capacity he'll play, but I think I think he should play more on the wing. And yeah, I just think it gives sort of Bruno that much more of a scope to sort of carry forward his game. So yeah, I'm personally going to go Bruno, but then again, obviously KDB would be the next shout. And again, yeah, I think best player, I think, will sort of be the if it's not the top scorer, it will be one of the bigger names. I don't think there will be any surprises. Kai Havertz, while he is an absolutely essential part of the Chelsea team. I don't see him being there. And if I had to pick one player, I'd probably just go. If Kane goes to City, I'd say Kane. And for best young player, I'm not too sure, to be honest, of some of the new signings. But again, I want to say Brian Gill or Jill, I'm not too sure how you pronounce the second name.
Gill.
Yeah, so I think from especially from what I've seen of him, obviously Ari does watch a lot of the La Liga and whatever he's sort of spoken about him. I think Ari, you hold him in very high regard. So yeah, as an optimistic Spurs fan, I would say Brian.
My only sort of issue there would be that I don't think that this season Gil is going to get a lot of playing time. I mean, I watched the Olympics final today, and he looked really, really good when he came on in the second half. But I just don't think he'll get enough playing time. I hope he does, and I hope you're right, but I don't think he'll get enough playing time. But yeah, so I think we are running sort of short on time. I think we can conclude there. It's going to be a really exciting season. Hopefully, it's much closer than last season. I think most teams have improved. So I think we're going to see a much more involved season, a season from the teams all the way down till maybe 10th place. I'd just like to say thanks, Kostub, for joining us. As always, thanks, Deep. Thanks, Ari. And thank you, everyone who's listening.